Hello and welcome to this Endo Life. I'm Jessica Duffin. I'm an endo warrior and endo health coach, and this podcast is all about living and thriving with endometriosis. As always, this podcast is here for educational purposes only. Please consult your medical practitioner before making any nutritional changes or bringing in any supplements. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to give a shout out to my lovely sponsors at BU, and I wanted to tell you about their new bath bombs, which are naturally made and contain beautiful essential oils, and their peppermint and eucalyptus essential oils bath bomb is doing so well right now with the endometriosis community. They're getting loads of feedback about it. And, you know, if you love the patches themselves, you're going to love the bath bombs, because essentially it's the patch in a bath bomb. So, you know, if you're on your period or if you're in pain, you could have a bath with some of the bath bombs or one of them. I don't know, you could have multiple if you want. And then get out the bath, maybe rub in some CBD balm and put your patch on top, which is what a lot of people are feeding back that they're doing. So I would love to do that, but I don't have a bath, so I can't. But if you have a bath, then, you know, I think these new bath bombs could be a lovely way to help alleviate some of your pain. So if you'd like to check them out, you can go to BU, which is buonline.co.uk, and you can also order them from anywhere in the world on cultbeauty.co.uk, and they deliver worldwide. So before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to give a shout out to the lovely girls at Semaine. They are two sisters with endometriosis. They've been on the show before, and they founded Semaine, which is a supplement company for people with periods. To originally, their first supplement was to aid with PMS and period pain. And I know that it is a lifesaver for so many people with endometriosis and painful periods. And now they've come out with a new supplement called The Daily. And it is a hormone balancing supplement, which is designed to help with healthy skin, stable mood, fewer cravings in your luteal phase, blood sugar balance. And they recently gifted it to me. Honestly, I said this to my client the other day. My blood sugar levels have never felt so stable as they did when I was taking that daily supplement. I couldn't believe the difference. It was like I had a whole month of like stable blood sugar. It was incredible. And as a result, I had much more of a healthier cycle. I felt a lot more satisfied. I had less food cravings. I just felt a lot more stable in energy. So I'm a really big fan of this. And as I said, blood sugar is a huge piece to managing your hormones, hence why blood sugar is such a big part of their supplement. So the girls have kindly given me a discount code for you guys. It will get you 20% off your first order, whether that's the daily or the PMS and period support capsules. And the code is ENDOLIFE, one word, all caps. So ENDOLIFE. So let me know how you get on with them. I'd love to hear if you find them as amazing as I did. And I hope that they bring you a happier and healthier cycle and period. Hi, everyone. So we are currently in an Airbnb in like a apartment block, and you can kind of hear through the vents, I don't know, kids watching a TV show, and somewhere in the building there is construction work. So I don't think it's going to be picked up, but if you can hear something weird in the background, that's what that is. Okay, so if you're a long-time listener of the show, you'll know that endo belly, that classic bloating many of us get, is not just caused by endometriosis itself, but is often the result of co-conditions and complications that people with endo face, such as small intestine bacterial overgrowth and microbiome imbalances. Gut dysbiosis, which means an imbalance of the bacteria in our gut, has been found in the research in people and animals with endometriosis. While some more drastic measures can be taken, such as using antimicrobial herbs to kill off the bad or opportunistic bacteria, one of the most essential and core things you can do to bring about balance is to support your healthy gut bugs with their favorite foods so that they can get back to the right numbers again. Many of us think that eating for gut health is about taking probiotics and drinking kombucha. But in fact, these strategies are just like drops in the ocean. They're like the paint on the walls. But first, we need to build the wall, right? We need to build the foundations of good gut health. So today, I am covering just that. Three essential strategies to building a healthier microbiome. Now, as you know, the strategies I provide you with in these episodes are just options for you. You don't have to do any of them, and you don't have to do them in any particular time frame. You could spend a year working through these at a sustainable pace, and I promise you, your gut will still be healthier for it, whether you take a month or a year to make these changes. And in fact, when it comes to eating for gut health, it actually often helps to take these steps slowly, because most of them will result in an increase in fiber. And if you do that quickly, you'll often end up with stomach upset. So you need to give your gut a chance to adjust. Okay, let's get to it. Number one is eating for blood sugar balance. I know this is a surprising one, but there's actually a lot of research supporting this. Diets high in sugar and processed foods have been shown to disrupt the healthy balance of the microbiome, promoting an inflammatory environment in the gut and causing damage to the intestinal lining. In contrast, diets rich in fiber and plant foods have been shown to support a healthy microbiome balance, creating an anti-inflammatory environment in the gut whilst supporting a healthy gut lining that actually functions properly. The British Dietetic Association, I don't know if I'm saying that right, I always stumble on that word, advises that the first step to treat an IBS through nutrition should be increasing fruit and vegetables and reducing sugar, processed foods, alcohol, and caffeine. And this guide was created as a result of a review of 86 studies. Pretty much all of these steps would improve blood sugar balance, because typically most alcohols, processed foods, sugar, and some caffeinated drinks spike blood sugar, whereas fiber from fruits and vegetables actually helps to stabilize blood sugar. Whilst there are lots of tips and tricks and add-ons to stabilizing blood sugar, the two core strategies would be to, number one, ensure there is fiber, healthy fats, protein, and complex carbs with each meal. To break that down further, we're looking for half of your plate to be fiber. So that's low starchy veggies like tomatoes, broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, etc. And then we're looking at a quarter of your plate being protein. So eggs, meat, fish, or beans, for example. And then the final quarter is complex carbs in the form of starchier carbs or veggies. So sweet potatoes, pumpkin, quinoa, beans, or rice, for example. And then you top it all off with 2 heaped tablespoons of healthy fats. So say half a medium avocado, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, a handful of nuts and seeds. That's the basic ratios. If you're struggling with blood sugar, you may do better starting off with a ratio of 50% fiber, 25% protein, and then that final 25% is split between the complex carbs and the fat, rather than the entire quarter of the plate being dedicated to those starchier carbs. Over time, you should be able to tolerate the original ratios I shared if you want to, and if that suits your body and your energy needs. Now, number two would be to minimize added sugar and refined carbohydrates such as pasta, pizza, and sweets. This doesn't include fruit, guys, so don't cut out fruit. Now, this doesn't mean you can never eat these foods again, but it is about being mindful of your intake and not having these as the foundations of your diet. Number two is eat a higher plants to animal products ratio. We know that a diet high in plant foods supports a healthier microbiome, but what about diets that include animal products? Well, for those of you who do eat meat, it's not about cutting meat, fish, etc. out entirely. The research shows that a diet high in meat can irritate the gut, affect the microbiome, and cause intestinal inflammation. But that doesn't mean a diet that includes meat is inflammatory full stop. It's about a diet high in meat. So, for example, a high adherence to the Mediterranean diet, whether participants were carnivore, vegan, or vegetarian, was shown to produce higher levels of short-chain fatty acids, which are crucial for good gut health. So, what's included in the Mediterranean diet? Olive oil, beans, nuts and seeds, high amounts of fruits and veggies, whole grains, a moderate amount of fatty fish and fish, some poultry, and a low to rare intake of red meat. Now, those kind of animal products can vary from region to region, country to country, kind of when we're observing the Mediterranean diet, but that's kind of roughly the kind of intake. Additionally, diets rich in veggies, fish, whole grains, nuts, legumes, fruit, and a higher intake of plant foods over animal foods are consistently associated with lower intestinal inflammation. Finally, and this leads me on to my next point, the largest study to date on the human microbiome on 10,000 people found that those with the most diverse microbiome ate 30 plus plant foods a week. This was regardless of whether they also ate meat or were fully plant-based. So when it comes to a healthier microbiome, the evidence is showing us that it's about keeping plants as the stars of the show. Animal products can have a place in your diet if that fits with your values and nutritional needs, but the ratio of plant foods to animal foods should always be higher. And of course, if you're eating for blood sugar, that should pretty much happen naturally if you consider those plate ratios that I just shared. If you're concerned or confused about whether you should or shouldn't eat meat for endo, I cover this in multiple podcast episodes and in masterclasses and in my courses. I'll link to a few options in the show notes for further reading or listening. Number three is eat 30 plus plant foods a week. So, as you now know, the healthiest and most diverse microbiomes are produced from a high intake of plant foods and specifically a variation in these. So aiming for 30 plus different plant foods a week. Why? Well, plant foods contain a huge range of different types of fibers, nutrients, and antioxidants, which are used to feed healthy bacteria and build healthy intestinal cells. If 30 plus plant foods feels overwhelming for you, the good news is that all plant food counts. So that includes teas, from green teas to black teas to herbal, coffee, oils like olive oil and coconut oil, nuts and seeds, herbs and spices, grains, beans, and fruit and veg. Here's a few examples to get you close to that number. Breakfast. So you could have oats, berries, chia seeds, sunflower seeds, and almonds sprinkled with some cinnamon powder and accompanied by a cup of coffee. Though remember to ensure you're having enough protein in there. Like, you need to kind of work out if you're having sunflower seeds and chia seeds and almonds and oats, they all have a little, like they all have a bit of protein, but just aim for 20 grams of protein per meal. If you're vegan, you're probably going to get about 15 grams if you're not adding like a protein powder or something. That's 7 plant foods already. And you can choose whatever plant foods you can afford. Chia seeds can be on the expensive side depending on where you buy them, but seeds like pumpkin, sunflower, and poppy are all relatively cheap. And if you go to somewhere like Morrison's in the UK to buy them, you can usually get them for around £1. Now let's look at lunch. So you could have a jacket potato with a protein of choice, grated cabbage and carrot salad, drizzled with olive oil, tahini, and then have some cucumber and lettuce on the side, and sprinkle that with 2 dried herbs of choice. So maybe, parsley and coriander. That's 9 different plant foods. And again, you can choose whichever ones you can afford. I've listed potatoes, carrots, cabbage, cucumber, and lettuce, as they can all be bought for relatively low prices if you're not buying organic and you're going to the cheaper supermarkets. But shop around and just see what works for you. These are just examples. Of course, organic is preferable, but that's not always realistic. It certainly doesn't mean you shouldn't buy the fresh fruit and veggies if they're not organic. It's always better to eat more fruit and veg, organic or not. Dinner. Okay, so you could do lentil and beef bolognese if you want to eat beef, or you could just do lentil on its own, made with tinned tomatoes. So the tinned tomatoes would still count as plant foods. They don't have to be fresh. And dried herbs such as oregano, thyme, and rosemary. And Stir a leafy green through, such as kale or spinach, and have a side salad of garlicky broccoli. That's 8 plant foods. And I haven't even included the pasta in that yet, which would count. You know, it is a refined carb and we do want to focus largely on whole foods. But you have a lot of whole foods in this meal, so that's fine. So if this was a day's worth of meals, you'd have oats for breakfast, jacket potato at lunch, and bolognese at dinner, you're already looking at 24 different plant foods, and that's without snacks. Now, if you're used to eating a bowl of cereal for breakfast, a sandwich for lunch, and a plain pasta for dinner, that probably sounds a bit overwhelming. But this is just an ideal scenario to give you an example. And even if you halved the intake of plant foods in this scenario, you'd still be almost half of the way to getting your 30 plus foods a week. So start slow. You know, if you are that kind of person who's eating a sandwich at lunch and cereal at breakfast, which is what most of us have been brought up on, then add some cucumber to your sandwich or a piece of fruit with your breakfast. Don't try to go from 5 different plant foods from 5 different plant foods a week to 30 overnight. You can start as slowly as you need to, even if that means you eat one new plant food a week. And if you're not keen on veggies and fruits, start with things you can tolerate easily, such as dried herbs or spices or drinking different types of teas. Remember, with all of these strategies, you don't want to rush these changes because your gut needs some time to adjust to the extra fiber. Otherwise, you could end up with worsened endo belly, not better. So, you know, going faster does not always mean better results. I hope this episode was helpful and you're able to find even one tip that you can add in to start building a happier microbiome and beaten endo belly. Just a reminder that this episode is sponsored by BU. These natural patches last for 12 hours, so they bring you prolonged relief and can begin working on relaxing your muscles before the pain kicks in, so you're prepared even if your period comes during the middle of the day. Some people even find that wearing them a night before their period can really help soothe the inflammation in the area. To shop, just head to the link in my show notes. So if you found this episode helpful and you want to learn more about living well with endo or you'd like some further help, I wanted to remind you of the resources I have available to you and how you can work with me if you'd like to. So I obviously have hundreds of these episodes for you to binge on, and I do have 2 free columns. So one on Endometriosis Net and one on Endometriosis News, and there are countless articles on there to help you thrive. You can also sign up to my newsletter for tips and updates. I have a digital cookbook and nutrition guide, This Endo Life, It Starts With Breakfast, which you can download for just $9.99. And if you want to go that step further, I have short and budget-friendly masterclasses in nutrition, surgery prep and recovery, and natural pain relief. I also have a DIY course, Live and Thrive with Endo, The Foundations, which you can sign up to at any time at a really affordable price point, and you have lifetime access to. So you can go at your own pace and literally look back at it years down the line. This 4-module course will provide you with the most effective yet easy to digest tools and strategies to reduce your pain, fatigue, endo belly, brain fog, and hormonal symptoms, and allow you to live your life again. Each lesson includes the core foundational needle movers that I have seen work for my clients time and time and time again. You get all the essential information that you need to be endo without the overwhelm. Finally, you can apply to work with me one-to-one. This is my most advanced and personalized offer, so I only take a handful of clients. To find out the details and the application process, head to my coaching page. The links to all of these resources and ways to work with me are in the show notes. And finally, to help others find this podcast and reach as many people with endo as possible, please leave a review and please share with your friends and family and subscribe.